Good morning. It is a good day. I love baptism services. I love it. And so we are excited to rejoice together today. And also, it is an exciting but also sad day because today is the last day that Andy will be leading worship with us. He's going to go and become the pastor of discipleship at First Baptist Church of Lowell. So at the end of the service, we're going to have a time where the elders are going to come up and pray for him. But this time we're going to dive into our message, so let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for new life. We thank you for a chance for these four individuals to profess their faith in you and profess their commitment. God, and we thank you that today we can take a look at a story that hopefully will help us to reflect on our own life and where we put our priorities. So God, as we speak from your word, just give us wisdom. In your name, amen. Well, I don't know about you, but I am easily distracted by a lot of things. So going through life, I always struggle with distraction. And at one point when I was about 30, I was really struggling with work. I was struggling with trying to keep all the priorities and felt overwhelmed. And so I actually went to see a counselor and we were talking. I was like, you know, I feel like I have the time to do the tasks, but I'm struggling to get the tasks done. And he said, Phil, have you ever been tested for ADD? And I said, I didn't know they had a test for that. I thought they just watched me in school and went, yep. But apparently they have a test. And so they gave me this ADHD test, and I scored like zero on the HD. Apparently I might look like it, but I'm not hyperactive. But on the ADD, if there was a grade system, I got an A+. I was like, oh, the guy goes, how has nobody ever noticed this in you? I go, oh, people have noticed. You talk to my wife. She knew. And so they did this thing where they gave me the Ritalin, and I'd never taken that before. And so I was like, okay, this is going to be good. And I went to work that first day, and for 3 hours, I was the most productive worker in the history of mankind. I didn't know you could concentrate that much. And I was like, there was flames coming off my fingers on the keyboard. I was flying. And then at 12, I just crashed. And I like had to go home and take a nap. I crashed so hard. So the next day, same thing, 9 to 12, and then crashed. And then I was like all week, and I said, okay, I can't do this. I'd rather just be Phil, distracted Phil, and just be me. And so I've learned to adjust to this. But last night, my wife and Joe were really laughing at me because I had one task that I was trying to do, and we kept talking, and I would go to do that task, and I'd be distracted by something else. And then it took me about an hour to do. I was just supposed to fill up a prescription bottle with my extra meds to put in my backpack. That's all I had to do. It was about an hour. So sometimes we get distracted, but our society is full of distractions. We have these phones, and these phones, then we can, while we're in line, instead of just standing there like we used to, you know, we can pull out the phone, and we have access to our email, and we have access to text, and we can call people. We have, for those of you who have kids, they're always a distraction. It's really hard to get anything done when the kids are around. They're always active. Now we have so many different entertainment options. Everywhere we go, there's something to keep us entertained. I go to a restaurant. Now, right now, it's not that big of a deal, but during football season, I go to the restaurant with my wife, and we're sitting there, and the point of the whole thing is a date. Supposed to be paying attention to my wife, but in the corner there's a football game. So I'm trying to zone into my wife, but then there's a long pass and my brain goes that way. And so sometimes we get distracted by good things, other times we get distracted by bad things. Well, at the same time, when you're someone like me that struggles with distraction, you have to set priorities. You have to, when you go to work, you say, okay, this is urgent and this is important. I need to get to this first. And this next thing is urgent, but it's important, but it's not very urgent. So I need to work on this now too. But then there are other things that are urgent, but not that important. But if you struggle with distraction, sometimes you jump to that thing that seems really urgent, but isn't that important. And there are other things that aren't important and they're not urgent. And those are things you really want to avoid at work, but often you see it, and it piques your interest, and you go off with it. So coming up with priorities is also difficult in our life. So when I was first a youth pastor, I had really bad priorities. So we were a young married couple, and I was young. I was 22, I think, when we became the first youth pastor. And so I wanted to change the world. And so really my priorities went something like this: work, because I had to work. I was working 50 hours a week. And then ministry. and then Sandy, and then God. You say, well, that doesn't make sense. You're a youth pastor. How is God after all those things? It's because I got so focused on doing for God that my whole spiritual life was about doing things for God, and I just stopped spending time with God. So I'd read the Bible to prepare for a message, but that'd be it. And I'd go and tell all the kids about Jesus and this new life, and yet he wasn't affecting my own life. And so when I came here to North Park, I said, look, my priorities is going to be God first, my family second, and North Park third. And I'm going to fight to keep that. But there are times where those priorities shift and where I get sidetracked. So today we're going to be talking about priorities, but I want you to do is to take out your sermon notes. And if you have access to a pen, I want you to write. If you don't have access to a pen, just think about it. But I want you to stop and take a minute to think through your life right now, in this very moment, and think through what is your top priority. What is your top priority? If you're really to put things in perspective, and you really think about it, and you're honest, what right now is your top priority? And maybe it's work, maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's your kids, maybe it's something else. But hopefully all of us, our goal is to have God be that top priority. But sometimes a good thing, when given the wrong priority, becomes a bad thing. When I was a youth pastor, it wasn't bad to prioritize work. I had to provide for my family. It wasn't bad to prioritize ministry. I wanted to be a good youth pastor. I wanted the kids to learn about Jesus. It wasn't bad to prioritize my wife. And that's a really good thing. But what was bad was that I had moved God out of that first set, that first priority, and I moved other things into that place. So the question today is, do you prioritize the right things? In Luke 10, we have a story. Verse 38, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will be not taken away from her. Sometimes a good thing, when given the wrong priority, becomes a bad thing. Let's start by going verse for verse. Let's look at verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened up her home to him. In John 11:1, we learn that Mary and Martha, and even potentially Lazarus, lived in a house in Bethany, which is a couple miles from Jerusalem. And it seems like this was a place that Jesus would go often. We could tell by the interactions that Mary and Martha were comfortable with Jesus. Jesus was comfortable with them. And so Martha does the thing that you're supposed to do. She opened up her home. Now, we don't know how many people were with Jesus at this time. It's quite possible that would have meant inviting over all the 12 disciples. So if you can imagine inviting 13 people over for dinner, it can be quite a lot to do. Or it could possibly be just Jesus, or possibly Jesus and some of his disciples, and some other people could have shown hospitality to the rest. But either way, Martha is doing a good thing. She's opening up her home. She's inviting Jesus in. Verse 39, she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. This is really interesting. Mary is doing something that in that culture would have been usually not accepted. She was sitting at the Lord's feet. One commentator said that to sit at a person's feet was the equivalent of to study under someone, like sit under their teaching, or to be a disciple of someone. In that culture, it would have been countercultural for Jesus to be teaching a woman. In fact, some rabbis taught that it's useless to teach a woman. Don't get mad at me, that was the rabbi saying that. Luke continually through his gospel demonstrates time and time again that Jesus placed a high value on women, that they had an important role, that they weren't second-class citizens. Earlier in this chapter, we see the story of the Good Samaritan, and just like that story exposes racism and exposes these ethnic boundaries that the Jews had set to cast people aside, this story exposes sexism and shows that God, the God of the universe, deemed Mary worthwhile to sit at his feet and listen to his instruction. Verse 40, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. In Romans 12, 13, and 1 Peter 4, 9, tell us that we should practice hospitality. And Martha was doing what was culturally appropriate in her time today. So in the time of the day, she invited Jesus and potentially other people in. She was responsible to take care of them, to feed them. She's running around and she's trying to get everything ready, making sure there's a good meal for Jesus, making sure everything's taken care of. And while she's doing that, her helper, Mary, her sister, is doing nothing. She's just sitting there and listening to Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but I sometimes am selfish. I don't know if you ever had that experience before. But sometimes my wife gets home from work and she's been on her feet all day as a teacher. And I say, I'm a good husband. I say, you just sit down. I'll prepare the meal. I'll get it all ready. And so I'm preparing the meal. And then I get stressed because I like try to have the meat and the vegetables and everything come out right at once so it's all hot. Because you know how you go and one thing's hot and the other thing's cold? I don't like that. So I try to have everything on time. But then the kids, you got to get them washed, hands washed. And they say, are you sure you don't need any help? And I say, no, I don't need any help. I'm good. And then the time comes where I realize I forgot to set the table because I was distracted by all the food stuff. And so the table's not ready. And then all of a sudden I'm mad at Sandy that she didn't notice that the table wasn't ready when I said I would take care of everything. And we don't know what happened here. Did Martha say, yeah, go ahead and talk to Jesus for a little bit? And Mary just sat there. And Martha thought, well, maybe she'll just sit there for a moment and come help. But either way, Martha says, look, Mary is missing the boat. We got to get the bread up. We got to get this ready. We got to get the table ready. All these people are coming. And she's just sitting there doing nothing. Jesus certainly will understand that she's in the wrong. Why isn't Jesus saying anything to her? Why wouldn't Jesus tell her, hey, I know you're enjoying my teaching, but go help Martha. She looks like she's struggling. She's distracted by all the preparations that need to be made. See, what Martha didn't realize is that sometimes a good thing, when given the wrong priority, becomes a bad thing. So she came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Don't you care? That's the God of the universe, the one who created you, the one who holds everything together, and you're worried that he doesn't care about you because he's letting your sister sit and hear him talk about kingdom, about life, whatever he was talking about. Don't we do that sometimes? God, don't you care about this thing that's really important to me? Why would you allow this stuff to happen? Don't you care about me? When we see all throughout the scriptures that God does, but God sometimes uses those circumstances to shape us. But we often are like Martha. We go to God and say, God, don't you care? She's expecting Jesus to step onto her side. She says, tell her to help me. Tell her to help me. Come on, Jesus. Look, she might not listen to me because I'm her sister, but she'll listen to you. Tell her what to do. See, Martha was focused on what Mary was doing and not really focused on what her responsibility was doing. She was looking at Martha or Mary and saying, look, you should be doing this. Do we ever do that? Look at someone else and say, they should be doing this. We're at church and it's a day where we had this big service day, and instead of just being thankful that we get the chance to serve the Lord, I can't believe so-and-so decided to go to the beach today instead of helping us. We're at the house and I can't believe that my husband would do that. It's so easy for us to look at other people and stand in judgment over them and miss out on what God is calling us to do. You know, James says, before we look at the speck in someone else's eye, we need to pull the plank out of our eye. Romans 14, it talked about how It's so easy to judge others on these other disputable matters rather than focusing on what God wants to accomplish in us. So we often have our own priorities, and sometimes we even try to give God the priorities. God, look, I know that you know what you're doing, but really, this is what I think you should be doing. If I were you, here would be my priorities. God, this is really what I think you should do. Mary was doing the best thing. Because sometimes a good thing, when given the wrong priority, becomes a bad thing. Jesus responded to Martha, and he didn't respond in a way that was, you know, you could see if he's being accused of not caring about Martha, that he could respond very shortly. But he's God, and he's perfectly patient, so he doesn't. But we even see this trait of Martha later on, when Lazarus died, when Martha says, if you had just come, he would still be alive. But Jesus is patient. He says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. You are worried and upset about many things. You know, I think if we were to summarize what's happening in our culture right now, I think that might be a good summary statement. We're worried and we're upset about many things. In traveling throughout the world as a missionary kid, what I found is that often the people that have the least amount of things are the people that are worried about the least amount of things. They just need their essentials. And us, in a culture that has much prosperity, we're often worried about all sorts of things. Student loans, we're worried about our retirement, we're worried about our job, we're worried about our friendships, we're worried about all these different things, and they can consume us. Be anxious over nothing, but in everything, cast your cares on Christ. See, Martha was worried that the food wouldn't get ready, but if the food isn't ready, what does that change? It means people get more time with Jesus. She was worried that everything wouldn't be just right, maybe thinking that, well, Jesus is going to judge me based on my performance, based on how the meal is prepared and all those things. And she was worried about it and upset. She was upset at her sister, who wasn't doing the things that she thought a sister should do. So what things are you worried about right now? What are the things that you're upset about? What are the things that maybe you're giving priority to that today you need to give over to Christ? See, Jesus doesn't critique her for what she's doing. He doesn't say you're doing the wrong thing. It's that you're distracted. It's that you're upset. It's that you're worried. It's that you're focused on these things. Mary is focused on the better. Because sometimes a good thing, when given the wrong priority, becomes a bad thing. But the best things should be our highest priority. Look what Jesus said. Few things are needed, and indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Jesus is to be our top priority. If you remember in Luke 9 last week when Andy was preaching, three different people approached Jesus to be followers. And essentially what Jesus was saying is, look, are you willing to be homeless to follow me? Are you willing to leave your family? Are you willing to leave your security to follow me? Levi, a few weeks ago, when Jesus came and said, follow me, Levi the tax collector left everything. He couldn't go back, and he followed Jesus. So at the beginning of the sermon, you wrote down what's your top priority. I want to ask you, where would you place Jesus? I think it's the utmost importance that we recognize that Mary did the best thing and sat at the feet of Jesus, because it's so easy for us to get distracted by many things. You know, when you go on the airplane and at the beginning they give that long speech, and then, you know, you do this, and you zip tie this, and you buckle a seatbelt, because you never buckled a seatbelt before, so you don't know how to do that. And in the case of emergency, the yellow oxygen masks will pop down. And if you have kids, you are supposed to put the oxygen mask on first. And they say that because what you don't want to do is you're trying to help your kid get on the oxygen mask, and then you run out of oxygen and you pass it out, and now that there's no one to help you put your oxygen mask on. So first thing you need to do in that circumstance as a father is you put the mask on first, and then you help those that can't be helped. Well, in the same way, when we talk about ministry and living for Jesus, our first priority needs to be to get that needed oxygen from Jesus, to go to Jesus first, and then we have the ability to minister. Because often we have it backwards. Like, we try to do all this stuff for others and think, I'm serving Jesus, but we don't take time to first get what we need from Jesus and then go serve. And when we do that, we find that really there's no joy and we're missing out on the best thing. Because the best thing is Jesus. So how do we make him number one? Well, we've had those here journals out there. If you haven't picked one up yet for the series, you say, well, I've never done it before. And I want to tell you the reason why we use that method. So the here method of reading the scripture is very simple. You read a passage, you highlight one verse, you explain what the verse means by looking at the verses around it. What is the author trying to say? What does this mean? And then you apply it. And the application step is really important. We got to see how does knowing who Jesus is, how does this affect our life? But then the last step is the one that I had never done before that really caused me to think through, is to respond. I've done the application. It's really easy to write the application down. Okay, this is how I should apply it to my life, but now I'm called to respond. And oftentimes for me, that response is just the time to stop and to pray and to ask Jesus for forgiveness for the areas that I have made myself the priority and taken him out of the picture. So when we think through these things, you know, we have to ask the question, am I willing to leave everything to follow Jesus? Can Jesus take a higher priority in my life than everything else, even the good things? Because sometimes a good thing, when given the wrong priority, becomes a bad thing. But the best things should be our highest priority, and our highest priority should be Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, this is a simple truth. And God, so often when we get into Bible passages that have simple truth, it's easy to us overlook it. To just stop and say, well, that makes sense. Yes, Jesus should be our top priority. But we go on and we live our lives as if that doesn't matter. We say, yes, God, I give you Sundays. See how I do that? I serve in Sunday school. I serve in Awana. I do these things, but do we stop to sit at your feet? Do we stop to be present with you? Do we start our day by saying, the thing I need most, more than anything else, is to be with Jesus? God, help us to put Jesus in the right place. Help us to put that oxygen mask on to say, I need to get you, spend time with you, connect with you first before I go out and serve others. Help us to make you our top priority. In your name, amen.